Hey there, welcome to LSAT Demon Daily. I'm Ben Olson, that's Nathan Fox. Together we're the founders of LSATdemon.com and our weekly podcast, Thinking LSAT. This email is from Gabe. Will you read it?
Sure. My name is Gabe, and I had a few basic questions. I recently joined LSAT Demon, and I can say after a week of hard studying, I've already made noticeable progress. I think you should. A week with the demon should blow your mind, I really think.
Yeah.
I took my diagnostic about a week ago after committing to this long journey. I received a 159. I feel as though a 180 is definitely in the cards for me, so I set my goal accordingly. Right away, I don't know. What do you say, Ben?
I don't know. It's like this idea that you need to get a 180. You just have to do the best you can.
Yeah, and it's not definitely in the cards for anybody.
No.
I mean, I agree that it is possible. 159, if that's like a cold 159, that's a damn good number. And sure, like high 170s, 99th percentile. Yeah, I would say 175 or higher. I don't see why not. That's only a 16 point improvement for you. But definitely 180 is like, well, I don't know. There's a lot of randomness in your results, and I still miss reading comprehension questions from time to time. I've struggled, Ben, the last couple of weeks in my classes on the reading comp questions. Yeah. I just keep getting tripped up. I don't know what it is. It's like, but you don't have to be perfect, right? That's the thing. I mean, I got a 179 on my official test. And it's not, I do think that people can get to the point where they're going to be perfect every single time on logic games. That happens a lot, actually. And logical reasoning, boy, it is rare for me to pick a wrong answer on logical reasoning. I just don't do it.
Yeah.
But reading comp, it's like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like sometimes it's fine. That's not to say that you can't score perfectly on reading comp sometimes. I mean, I certainly do score perfectly on reading comp sometimes.
Sure.
But I also tend to drop a question or two here or there. And so I wouldn't, if you told me right now you have to take a test today and get a 180, well, I'm not betting my house on it.
Yeah.
No way. If you said you have to get a 175, I would bet my house.
Yep.
But I would not bet my house on a 180.
Yeah.
So
it's also just not necessary, right? Like,
right.
The benefits, we tell people all the time, hey, maybe you should retake it. Maybe you could do better. You just said your practice test scores were higher. Why are you stopping now? So we don't want to discourage someone from aiming higher, but 180 is unnecessarily high.
Right. Law schools only care about your highest score. You have 3 attempts per cycle or up to 5 attempts in multiple cycles. And you should, exhaust your attempts until you have reached your potential. And so there's lots of incentive to try for more. There's a difference between a 172 and a 176. But I'm not so sure. I mean, there's just not a difference between a 178 and a 180. That's not a difference. So at the extreme top of the scale, every point doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
That's pretty extreme though. Like look at Yale's 509, right?
What is the 75th percentile there? 177?
Maybe we should look it up. Let's go to lsatdemon.com/scholarships.
I feel like it's 177. That's what I have in my head.
Okay.
Yep, 177 for the 75th percentile, 174 for the 50th, and 171 for the 25th percentile.
So it makes a difference, right? Like there's a difference between a 171 and a 174 and a 177. But above that, we're talking about the perpetual number one law school in the country. And if you have a 178, 9, or 180, it does not change their 509 report. And it does not change any school's 509 report.
Well, here's something interesting though. Their 75th percentile for GPA, 3.99. So yeah. There's where,
yeah,
you know, doing perfect, it makes a difference.
Yeah. And that's where we have to return to our recently discovered advice,
mm-hmm.
which is if you're still in undergrad, you must get an A in every class you take from here on out.
Do the best you can.
And if that means literally cancel your LSAT Demon subscription and work on your grades, do it.
Yep.
Now, if you're getting straight A's and you're also studying productively for the LSAT, great. But if you are currently paying us money and you're getting a single A minus, I want you to stop paying us money right now.
Yep. Pay a tutor to help you with that class.
Yeah. Literally unsubscribe from our product. I want you to take money out of my pocket. I want you to put it in someone else's pocket. Or really, what I want you to do is stop wasting time on the LSAT while you're getting poor grades.
Yep.
Get a 4.0, then work on your LSAT. Law school will always be there. Now, if you're getting a 4, some people can do both. That's great. If you can do both, great. But don't get less than perfect grades while also working on the LSAT. It's a waste of time. We need an analogy for that. It's like the left hand doesn't know what the right hand's doing. It's cutting off your nose to spite your face. That's what it is. We don't need to invent a new one because that's a perfect one. Go ahead. Do you have a better one?
No, I don't have a better one. I'm actually still trying to understand that. I've heard that like a million times. Cut off your nose to spite your face. Who spites their face? And what does that even mean?
That's true. What does that mean? Maybe we always use that one incorrectly. A lot of these old school aphorisms, we use them incorrectly all the time. So maybe that doesn't mean what we think it means. Okay, we'll work on that. You can email daily@lsatdemon.com if you would like to help us. But just, hey, if you're wasting time, if you're prepping for the LSAT and then also putting bad grades on your record, you're doing one thing to help your law school application while hurting your law school application.
Yeah, and you have to realize you can do LSAT after you graduate. So that's the real problem, right? It's that you're working on something that you don't need to work on now. And that thing that you're working on, the LSAT, is preventing you from working on something you do need to work on now. Because everyone else who's graduated and has a GPA set in stone, they are set in stone. They're stuck with that GPA. We're not saying that you have to have a 4.0 to apply to law school. What we're saying is if you still have the opportunity, which is rare for pretty much most people listening to this show, to affect your GPA, do it.
Yes. Yeah. We're not telling you that you have to build a time machine and go back and fix prior sins. But we are telling you that, like, this is a one chance to get an A in this class. You have limited chances up until the point where you graduate with a bachelor's. You can continue to improve your law school admissions GPA, your LSAC GPA. And it's just so foolish to put bad grades on your record in order to simultaneously get a better LSAT.
Yep, 100%.
Okay, all right. You know we believe that because it costs us money to say it.
Yep.
All right. Anyway, that's not at all what Gabe was writing about. What's Gabe want to know?
I don't know.
Are you I'm reading it.
Yeah.
My question is as follows. At what point should I feel as though I am ready to sign up and take the official test given my goal? Well, you shouldn't have that goal. 180 is not a good goal. My current plan is to wait until I consistently get around the 180 mark. You know, plus or minus.
Like 181. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, get a couple 185s on there just so I feel real good about it going into the test. No. Yeah. You're never going to get consistently around the 180 mark, Gabe. I think for you, Gabe, if you're scoring consistently in the mid 170s, it's time to take the official test.
Yep.
Because then, you know, you take it, maybe your first attempt, you get a 177 and you just go, well, that's 75th percentile for Yale. Good.
I'm done. Yep.
Yeah. Is that overkill? Yes, that is overkill, James or Gabe. You do not need to get 100 180s in a row before you sit for the official test. Mid 170s is a good spot for you.
Yep.
I'm currently in a very good position in finance, so I am not in a crunch time-wise, comma, splice, planning on starting law school fall of 2023. For some background, I graduated from Georgia Tech with a 3.90 GPA. I will only go to law school if it is paid for, and I would really like to go to T14, which is why I am trying to shoot for the best score possible. Any insight would be greatly appreciated. Thanks, Gabe. Gabe, you need to go to lsatdemon.com/scholarships. You can answer your own question there.
Yep.
And I will answer your question for you. I'm going to go to lsatdemon.com/scholarships. And, ooh, that's new. How to use the estimator at the top of the page. Okay, cool. All kinds of new shit. Thank you for that, Ben and team.
Of course.
Yeah, you know, 3.90 and a 175. Update. Yale, Stanford, and Harvard are all need-based. You're not going to get a merit scholarship there. Less than half at schools 4 through 8. More than half at 9, 10, and 11. But 3.9 and a 175 is showing a full tuition scholarship at Northwestern School of Law. That is Pritzker in Chicago. It's also showing a full tuition at University of California, Los Angeles, on the west side of Los Angeles. So that's two good options there with a 3.90 and a 175. Tons and tons of full tuition offers. Starting at number 16, Ben,
yep.
We see 18 full tuition scholarship offers in a row.
Yeah.
And then we start seeing some schools that apparently just don't offer full rides. Fordham and UC Davis and Washington and Lee. You're just probably not getting a full ride at those schools no matter what. But at UT Austin, at Vanderbilt, WashU in St. Louis, University of Southern California, Boston University, Florida, Minnesota, Notre Dame, North Carolina, all kinds of top 20, 25 schools. They're offering you full rides with a 3.9 and a 175. If we bump that up to a 177.
Yeah, it helps a little bit. It's interesting to see how much GPA plays a role at these top, top schools.
Yeah.
You're even with a 3.9, you've shut some doors.
So ultimately it's not in response to Gabe's question, but the most important thing that we've talked about today is that every grade, every single one of them from here on out matters a lot.
Yep.
For your law school admissions and for your scholarships. And some ships have already sailed for Gabe, even with his 3.90.
Not that he can't get into these top programs. I mean, maybe you can go to even HLS. I don't know. It sounds challenging for one, but you're not going for free at a lot of these top programs, unfortunately.
Probably. Well, so University of Chicago Law School, for example.
Five in the nation.
Okay. Number five in the country, University of Chicago Law School, with a 3.9 and a 180, it says less than half tuition scholarship.
Yep.
With a 3.95 and that same 180, it says more than half. With a 3.96, it says full tuition.
Yep.
So that's a 0.06 improvement in Gabe's GPA to go along with his 180 that he's so certain he's going to get. And he could get that full ride to Chicago.
Let me drop that. Yeah, that's interesting. So also LSAT comes into play there because what do we got here? We got
I wonder. And yeah, Gabe, that's a question that you're going to have to answer by going into your Credential Assembly Service account with LSAC and having all your transcripts uploaded, and then they'll tell you what your actual GPA is. It might be exactly 3.90, but it could be higher, could be lower once they do whatever magic they do in the background.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, email daily at lsatdemon.com if you'd like to ask us a question or share some LSAT or law school admissions news. Thanks for listening.